Hello, everybody, and welcome to our new series in Simchas Chaim and Inner Peace. Okay, I'm very much looking forward to this series. I think we have a lot of different topics to cover. And I would like to start with just talking about Chomer and Surah and the Midah of Simcha. So for those who have been with us in the past when we've dealt with different Midos, we often try to see Midos in the context of Chomer and Surah, Chomer being the amount of Hashem-given gift or lack thereof that a person has within a certain Midah. And that is, this is something which is not what a person chooses, often present with a person from a very young age. And then we have Tzura in a Midah. And Tzura is the way a person actually works on a Midah in developing it in himself. And this, every Midah, we're going to have the Chomer and the Tzura of the Midah. So the way we understand this is that, I mean, the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that a person cannot choose his Chomer, and Hashem might make some people more naturally happy than others. But the good news is that a person can attain a nice level of Simcha, even if he isn't naturally gifted in this area, through working on his Tzura. And the way we like to see this is that a person really cannot be comparing himself to somebody else and looking at a neighbor who's always in a good mood and happy and not easily frazzled and saying, oh, my goal is to be like her, because truthfully, my Chomer might be very different than hers, and that's not really my goal. As I once read somewhere, it's comforting for us to think that spiritual growth is measured by the distance moved rather than the destination reached. And I think that's an important thing to remember. The distance moved is vis-a-vis my own Chomer, how much I've developed myself, and that's where Hashem gives schar, and that's where the growth takes place. But it's not the destination reached. I can't point at somebody or a certain level and say, okay, I'm trying to get to that, because that varies from person to person. Okay, it's important for us to realize this, and the reason why I say it's so important for us to realize it in this Midah of Simcha is because it is an area where it's clear that certain people are more naturally gifted than others. And we're going to see this from scientific research and from the Torah. And therefore, just comparing yourself to somebody else is going to make you less happy, even though you're really striving for happiness. And we have to, you know, be very, very clear about that and aware of our own capacity and work within our own framework and not really look at other people and feel bad about ourselves, that we're not as happy as them. Very important. The second outgrowth of this concept of Chomer and Surah is the difference between primary responses and secondary responses. And again, those who've been with me with other Midos, we've spoken about this in various contexts. When a person is triggered by something and has a sad response, or wakes up in the morning in a sad mood one day, there's something called your primary responses. And primary responses is when I have any kind of emotion, and sadness is one of them, that just came on and is not even really in my control. And we have to realize that Hashem does not hold us responsible for our primary responses, the ones that were just triggered and just came without my processing them even, because that has a lot to do with my Chomer, the way I am wired and the way Hashem made me. But we do learn that where Bechira, where choice comes in, is my secondary responses. Meaning once I find myself already triggered to be in a certain emotional state, how do I deal with that? Once I'm already processing and realizing what's happening, that's where the Bechira comes in. And we are responsible for our secondary responses. That's where we work on our Tzura. We work on developing better secondary responses. And I will give you a proof of this from the Torah. There's a pasuk in Koheles Zayin Perek Tes. The pasuk says, "Kaas bechek ksilim yanuach," which literally means that anger rests in the embrace of a silly person. Now, if you analyze this pasuk, "anger rests in the embrace of a silly person," we're learning a very important principle. Rabbi Dr. Tursky actually makes reference to this pasuk in one of his books, where he says that here's where we learn that a primary emotional response, like anger, but also like sadness — the pasuk is talking about anger, but it's really true about other primary responses as well — The primary response is not what the pasuk is referring to. The pasuk is referring to somebody who embraces their anger. And here, the pasuk is calling that person a ksil, a silly person. So basically, what we learn from this pasuk is that a chacham, a smart person, and a ksil, a silly person, both can be triggered to be angry or any other emotional response like sadness. So the primary response is not where we see a difference between a smart person and a silly person. Where do we see the difference? In the secondary response. Because the pasuk teaches us, kas b'chei ksilim yanuach, that only a silly person, a ksil, will decide to embrace his anger and let it kind of build up in him. And this is the person who allows his negative emotions to fester, and he embraces them. He allows himself the luxury of letting this emotion take over. And this is where the Torah is telling you that a chacham, a smart person, does not want his negative emotions to take over. So we learn that the primary response is involuntary. It has to do with my chomer. I didn't choose it. But once I'm already processing and choosing what to do, that's where my free choice comes in. Okay, so this is definitely going to be true with sadness, that sometimes there's all kinds of reasons, some biological and some something which just triggers us. We're going to talk about this in different ways, that I didn't choose. But then where my choice comes in is, what am I doing about it? And how do I want to, do I want to embrace this negative emotion, or do I want to try to work with it in a way that I can? Okay. Once we speak about Chomer and Tzura, as we just said right now, there's very interesting scientific research that kind of goes very beautifully with this concept. And there is a book called The How of Happiness by someone called Dr. Sonia Libarmarsky. She happens to be Jewish, even though it's not a Jewish book. And she actually did something very interesting. She had a research team who researched happiness. They did scientific research on what makes people happy and how people increase happiness, etc. Now, the cover of her book actually has like a picture of a pie. I think it's like a cherry pie. And she has the pie, which is kind of representing like a happiness pie. And she has it divided into three pieces. She has one part of the pie is 50% of the pie, and then there's 40% and 10%. And what she says there fits so beautifully with the concept of Chomer and Tzura. She says there, very, very interestingly, that a person has three aspects that compose how happy he is. Now, what I'm about to say right now is, I don't know if some people will find it good news or not good news, but we have to be honest and really try to understand ourselves. At least according to scientific research, she says that 50% of a person's happiness level has to do with his internal wiring, which we will call Chomer, the way Hashem makes us, the way Hashem wires us. So she, from her research, found that 50% of my happiness level really is not something that I choose. It's just my internal wiring. Some of it is biological. It's the way I am. And then she says that there's 40% of my happiness which is based in actions and attitudes. Meaning, I can increase my happiness level by 40%, which is a lot, by thinking the right thoughts and doing the right actions and working on myself. And that's what we would call tzura. And that's 40%. You might be curious as to what's the other 10% that comprises people's happiness. And she says 10% of happiness is maybe where the biggest misconception exists regarding happiness, is life circumstances. She says life circumstances only influence 10% of your happiness level. Now, why is that a big misconception? Because many people think, if only I had, and you could fill in the blank, some of them more trivial, some of them more serious, if only I had this thing that I'm longing for, that I'm waiting for, that I really want, then of course I would be much, much happier. And she said that's really only causes a 10% improvement. Now, again, some people's things that they're missing are very, very deep and important to them, so I'm not sure that everything she says here would be true in all situations. But she's saying that, generally speaking, when you take a unhappy person and you give them the thing that they want, their happiness really only increases 10%. Now, again, this is her research, And we're not trying to say that the Torah would exist would exactly say 50-40-10. I don't know. There are no percentages given. And it could be that we believe, al pi avoda, that a person could, you know, change a lot of things through his tzura. But it's interesting to see that the scientific research goes according with this concept of chomer and tzura, meaning a large percentage of your happiness is the way you're wired, and another very large portion is how much you work on yourself. So I think it's beautiful to see this this correlation, and we know hafoch ba hafoch ba tekula ba. Torah has all the answers, and it's nice to be able to see that scientific research found what we know to be true in the Torah. Very interestingly, and we're going to definitely talk about this more, this is the part that I don't know if people like to hear this or not like to hear this, but I think it's so important in understanding ourselves and understanding our loved ones. What does it mean when we say that somebody that people's happiness is 50% comprised by their wiring? So here she explains something very interesting. She says that a person basically has a certain level of happiness that he's naturally wired towards, assuming that he doesn't work on himself. And that's a big, you know, assuming, because we're going to talk about how it's all about work. That's what this vat is about. It's about tzura, because we're not changing our homer, but we could change our tzura. So she says, let's say a person is not particularly working on himself, but they were born with a certain kind of a wiring. So basically she said that wiring is kind of the person's baseline for happiness throughout their life, that they more or less stay around that basic, that baseline. She says what happens is that they can get something or reach a certain milestone or something really nice will happen to them, and they'll temporarily jump and be very, very, very happy with this thing that they had. But then basically over time, they gravitate naturally back to their baseline. So when they adjust to the new situation, they will basically more or less be around as happy as they were before. With, of course, you know, we said life circumstances can affect things around 10%, according to her research. But basically, people have a baseline for life. Maybe the happier way to present this is in the opposite. She says, when a person has a certain baseline for happiness, and chas v'shalom, they go through something difficult, some kind of very sad experience or something traumatic, a loss, whatever it is, so they will dip temporarily, and they will go down, possibly to an unhappy state that's appropriate for, you know, whatever that loss is. But then over time, they naturally gravitate back up to their baseline, and they continue in their, throughout their lives with that higher level. So basically, if you have this picture in your head of like a kind of a baseline where people gravitate back towards their baseline, whether it's up or down, so this is basically the concept of Homer, according to her research. Now, most people's baseline is not at zero. Most people's baseline is somewhere, you know, in an average or above average place. And then you can add, when you work on yourself and you work on your actions and your attitudes, you can make your baseline 40% higher. And that's a big increase. And that's really what we are trying to accomplish. We're trying to understand happiness. We're trying to understand what is a sophisticated working on happiness. What does it look like? And what actions and what attitudes can I develop in order to make my my baseline that much higher? And like we said, the homer I didn't ask for. You know, the way I'm wired is not what I is not, you know, something that I could order. But the fact that certain actions and attitudes can vastly improve the quality of my happiness, that's what we're really working on. Okay, so I think that this is an important idea. And I think it's also very important for us because we know biologically about happiness even more than other midos, that when we talk about chomer, we're also talking about certain levels, certain hormonal levels, certain serotonin levels that people have in their bodies, and certain even inherited, you know, biological inclinations. And this has a lot to do with my chomer. And I can't, you know, I can't be upset at myself for the way I am wired. And I definitely can work on a 40% increase through the proper tzura. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, we'll get back to this at different points over this VOD. But I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was an interesting idea. And now I would like to start by looking at certain sources of sadness. And in order to understand happiness, we have to understand why a person might be sad. So if we go to the Torah and we look, the Hebrew word for sadness is atzvos, from the shoresh of ayin tzadik beis. We'll talk about that and other uses of that shoresh at some point in this vat. But we see sources in the Torah that use the concept of atzvos, of atzuv, of etzev. And one of the first times we see this, I think it is the first time we see this word, is in Bereishis Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin. And the Pasuk is talking about the punishment of Chava, that Chava receives after, you know, the chait that they, that she and Adam committed in Gan Eden. And the Pasuk says, Harbeh, harbeh, harbeh etzponech, v'heronech, u'be'etzev talidi banim. You, with sadness, you will give birth to children. The Gemara in Eruvin Kuf, Amud Beis, says that this be'etzev tol dibanim, etzev, what does it mean that you will give birth in sadness? So the Gemara tells us that it means tsar, the tsar of gidul banim, the tsar of the actual birth. The actual birth is etzev. And we learn there that the synonym for sadness is tsar, pain. So it's the pain of childbirth is referred to in the Torah as etzev. We will look into this more at a certain point over this vad, but what is the tsar? What does it mean that pain is etzev? And pain, tsar, the word tsar, comes from the same shorish as the word atzar. If you change the letters of the word tsar, tzadik, ayin, resh, which means pain, if you change the order of the letters, you get to ayin, tzadik, resh, which is atzar, to stop something. And we learned something very interesting, that one of the reasons that birth is difficult is because there's a process which is difficult in its progression. And anybody who's been through childbirth knows that as you're trying to painfully progress and the baby is not, if the baby would descend and come out in a second, it wouldn't be considered so painful. But the fact is that with the contractions and the gradual progress, the tsar comes from atzar, comes from the concept, the feeling that something is not progressing enough, causes the pain and causes the sadness. So really, sadness and pain, according to this, are synonymous. And we're going to look in a much wider level in this vod as what in my life is not progressing enough, whether it's, you know, the development of somebody or a relationship, or something in my life that I would have expected a certain kind of progress, a certain kind of development. And if it's not developing properly, so then we feel pain and we feel sadness. We will definitely go deeper into these things. I'm just trying to introduce a few of the causes of pain, of sadness. So that's number one. Number two, later on in Bereishis Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, this is after the Mabul, after Hashem destroys humanity in the flood in the time of Noach. The pasuk tells us something very interesting. V'yinachem Hashem ki asa et ha'adam v'yitatzev elibo. That Hashem felt bad that He had created man, and He was sad about it. V'yitatzev elibo. That ki'ilu kivyachol Hashem was sad. Rashi says there, what is the v'yit atzev, which is from the same shorsh of atzuv, that Hashem was sad. Rashi says this, so explains to us, nit'abel al avdan ma'aseh yadav, that Hashem was mourning the loss of His creations. Hashem had just destroyed the whole world, other than, you know, the whoever survived in the teva, and Hashem was mourning the loss. The loss of all of His many creations that were lost in the Mabul. And here we learn from the Torah that another source of etzev, of atzvut, of sadness, is mourning a loss. And, you know, I once learned that there's certain emotions that teach us different things. And sadness, in general, usually implies a loss. And Rashi is teaching us this principle. In the world of therapy, they often say that when somebody comes in to therapy and is complaining about sadness, we ask ourselves, what is this person mourning? What loss? And loss could be a real loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a position, loss of something. But it could sometimes be a more subtle loss, loss of a dream, loss of some kind of hope or expectation, loss of a friendship, loss of something. Something's bothering me because it's something that I really cared about that is no longer with me, and that's causing me to be sad. So that's number two. And again, I'm just really introducing here, so I'm just mentioning different sources. Obviously, we'll have to go deeper into them and their antidotes over this Vlad. Number three, the Gemara in Iruvin Gimel, Amud Beis, the Gemara is talking about something very interesting. It's actually talking about the measurement of an Amma, which is one of the Torah measurements. And it says that there's different ways that a person can measure an Amma. And the Lashon of the Gemara is Halalu Sechakot, the Halalu Atzivot. Very interesting. The Gemara is talking about an Amma Socheket and an Amma Atzeva. Fascinating. We're talking about a measurement, but we're saying that there's an Amma that is laughing and an Amma that is sad. So how can a measurement be laughing or be sad? The way what the Gemara is talking about is the way you measure. Are you measuring it in a wider way, more kind of generous, if you want to call it that way, and then it would be called an Amma Socheket? Or are you measuring it in like a very kind of like retracted kind of a way, in a limited way, and then it's called an Amma Atseva. So what we learn from this is that the word Atsuv is also about it's about something being betzimtzum, something being retracted, being limited, being held back, being diminished. And that's going to be another possible source of sadness, is when a person feels mitzumtzam. He feels that he's not his full self. He's limited in some way. There's some aspect of him that's not developed, that's being diminished. And that also creates a sense of sadness. Okay, I'm going to just mention one more for today, even though there's even more, just even more than that. Pasuk in Mishle Hey. Pasuk, Mishle Perek Hey. The pasuk says, "V'atzavecha b'beit nachri." Again, the lashon of atzav. All the four sources I'm showing you all have the same shorish of ayin tzadik beis, talking about sadness. "V'atzavecha b'beit nachri." So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, when he explains the word atzavecha, he makes a connection between sadness and anxiety. And listen to the lashon of the Gra, atzavecha. Who choshev machshavot beveito v'tamid b'da'aga. Very interesting what the Gra is saying. The Gra is saying that the sadness that's being described in the Pasuk of Mishle is a person who sits home all day and worries. And it turns his house into b'beit nachri. It's almost like his house is a strange place, a foreign place, because he has all these worries. The context of the Gra is talking about, I'm not going to get into right now. It's not really relevant to us. But really, the way he describes etzev is excessive worry, which I think is interesting because we often talk about anxiety, we talk about sadness, and here we see that worry and sadness kind of get together under the word atzuv, under the word sadness. So my purpose in bringing you these four sources, and like I said, there are actually more sources in the Torah for different types of sadness, is for us to understand what are the possible triggers in my life in a larger conceptual way. I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, I just, you know, spilled milk all over the floor, so I'm a little sad. I'm talking about it in a bigger sense when I'm kind of feeling sad and I'm trying to understand what my trigger is for the sadness. I think that we understand that the fact that I'm triggered by something is not necessarily in my control. And the fact that some people are sad for no reason because they're in a biological state or something related to their chomer is not what we're relating to in these four sources. We will relate to it at some point over this Vlad as well. But here we're talking about sadness that's triggered by different types of events and if I understand them, I could also work with them. So just to synopsize, we spoke about sadness as a stopped process, something that we're supposed to develop that isn't progressing, a certain lack of progress. Is one source of etzev of sadness according to the Torah. Number two, we said that Hashem is mourning a loss, and that Atzvot sadness comes from mourning a loss of some type. Number three, we said Tzimtzum, a feeling of being retracted, of not being able to be expansive, of being diminished. And number four, excessive worry. So in order for us to get to Simcha, to understand happiness, we also have to understand where the struggles are, and where we possibly could be grappling with something which is making it harder for me to be happy. So Emir Tashem and Nevad, I would like to deal with a lot of sources of Simcha, how we develop happiness in ourselves, and things that are not just even an antidote to negativity, but just on a regular day when you want to work on yourself to be even happier than you are and to raise that level. So how can we do this, and what methods does the Torah recommend, and how do we understand on a deeper emotional level how a person works on his happiness? Of course, as I just implied through the sources that I mentioned, that in order to really understand happiness and inner peace, we also have to understand the obstacles. So we're beginning to touch upon them by looking at the Torah sources for the word Atzov and to understand them on a deeper level. Okay, so I think that's it for today, and I'm looking forward to working together on this Midah. Hopefully we will accomplish, and I wish everybody a lot of Hatzlacha. Take care. Bye-bye.